Well, it has certainly been a blessing. You can go ahead and be seated. We'll stand here in just a moment to read the scriptures. And often people ask me, and they said, how in the world did a Mississippi guy, Mississippi, yeah, it's kind of like Narlands, yeah. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? We got several people from Tennessee in our church, and we speak the same dialect, you know. And so that's the reason I'm real close to those people in Tennessee, because we can understand each other. But I've often been asked, how in the world did a Mississippi guy end up in Texas? Well, actually, I didn't get saved till I was 23 years old. I worked for a company, a secular company, that moved me out here to start a business over in Fort Worth. And that's how I actually ended out in Texas. He had to get me out of Mississippi to get me saved, you see. And so I got to Texas, and that's where I was reached. And I don't have time to go into the testimony because I want to be brief tonight because, listen, we need to get down to business. Yes. This business of taking our commitment cards and our faith promise cards for world missions. That's what we're here for. We're here to give God that not only which is His, but that which He tells us. So I ended up over here, was reached through the soul winning ministry, ended up at Trinity Baptist Church. That's where I got saved. That's where I got baptized. That's where I was called to preach. That's where I ended up on staff for 24 and a half years and now pastor of the church that I was saved in. And I've told you the other day, it don't always work out that way, particularly you Bible college students. It don't always work out that way. But that was just God's will for me. And it's been just a wonderful time. You know, preacher, Dr. Smith, I often heard him say that if he had 1,000 lives to live, he would want to be God's preacher in every one of them. I wouldn't trade anything. I'd have to step down to be president.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. It's the greatest occupation, if you want to call it that, on planet Earth. Yep. And by the way, if you're right in the middle of God's will, you're the happiest person in the world. Amen. Just be right where God wants you to be. Take your Bible tonight. We're not going to be long in the message. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter number 16. Now, while you're turning there, before I have you stand, I'm going to ask you something. If I could present to you an investing opportunity, and that investing opportunity had absolutely no risk involved, but has guaranteed returns regardless of what the economy does, regardless of who's in the White House, regardless of what happens, if I could interest you in an investment that had no risk, guaranteed returns, and the promise of God's favor and blessing, would you take God up on that? Yeah. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. You know, people play the stock market all the time. And so they play the stock market all the time with extreme high risk.
Right. Yes, sir.
Am I right? And don't even think anything about it. They play the stock market with extreme high risk. And listen, every time that they play the market, they understand they could lose everything overnight. But you know, when you invest in missions, no risk involved, guaranteed returns every time. You say, man, that's a great investment. Well, that's what we're about to do. We're about to make this investment in a no-risk, guaranteed returns investment. Listen, I was born in Mississippi, but I'll take you up every time if there's no risk and guaranteed returns. I'm going to take you up every time on that. And that's what missions is all about. In our text verses, just before we stand, let me just bring you up to speed to kind of where we are. In Acts chapter 16, if you know your Bible, I think you do, Paul and Barnabas now have parted ways, and Paul has taken to him an associate by the name of Silas, and they now have determined that it was God's will for them to go out on another missions journey. And so they took out, and Paul had certain intentions to go certain places. And by the way, you know, I tell our folks going out sowing, you can't go to the wrong place. You go out sowing, you can't go to the wrong places. People need to be saved everywhere. And Paul had a desire. He wanted to go to Asia. He said, you know what, Silas, associate, let's go east. But the Holy Spirit had other plans for the Apostle Paul. And I want us to take a look at that for our message tonight. Acts 16, we're going to begin reading in verse number 6. Let's stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. That way you'll be able to stretch your legs. We're not going to be seated long tonight because it's time for the preacher to get back up and get down to business here about faith promise giving. Now the Scripture says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now stop and look up here at me. It wasn't wrong to preach the word in Asia. It just wasn't God's will at that time. All right? Everybody okay with that? Hey, listen, folks, it's not wrong to go soul winning in certain parts of Mesquite, Texas. But if God tells you to go here, then you need to go where God tells you to go, you see. And so Paul said, "But man, I really want to go to Asia." And the Holy Spirit said, "Not yet. We're not going that direction yet." But wait a minute, look at this. And after, okay, so the Apostle Paul says, "Okay, Holy Spirit, I know you know best. So now I'm going to go to Bithynia." Now notice what this, after they came or were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, which was kind of north of where they were, but the Spirit suffered them. Does your Bible say not? Now wait a minute now. The preacher, the missionary said, "Well, I want to go to Asia." Holy Spirit said, "Not yet." Okay, that's fine. Okay, I'm going to go to Bithynia. No, not yet. Now follow me now. Those two places are where Paul wanted to go, not where the Holy Spirit wanted him to go. Are you with me? All right. So Paul said, "Can't be anything wrong to go to Asia. I'll go there." Holy Spirit said no. Okay, well, I'll go to Bithynia. Holy Spirit said no. Now let's find out what the Holy Spirit's plan is here. "And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night." Now notice this. "And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed, saying, come over into Macedonia." Now listen, here's the message right here. "And help us." Now wait a minute, it wasn't wrong to help us, the people in Asia. It wasn't wrong to go up and help the us in Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go east. I don't want you to go north. I want you to go west into Macedonia. Now let's find out what Paul did. "And after he had seen the vision," wait a minute here, let me get... It says immediately. Is that what your Bible says? No, wait a minute. He wanted to go to Asia. He wanted to go to Bithynia. And by the way, most people, when they make their mind up, "Well, this is where I'm going to go," you know what they do? They go where they want to go. But I think I read a story one time about Elijah where God told him to go by the brook Cherith, and he said, "You stay right there and the ravens will feed you there." Because if you're there, you're going to be fed. You go anywhere else, they drop in the food right there. Right? Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, if you're in the will of God, God's going to drop the blessings there. And so he says, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel," listen now, "unto them." Not Asia, not Bithynia, but to them. Now I want you to go back to verse 9. That's our text verse. "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And here's the message tonight. The message is this. Listen, we've been going along the theme and the thought of missions matters to God. We've understood that the church has a charter, does it not? That charter contains a message. That message is called the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a method in which we are to work the message. There is means by which we are to work the methods to get the message out. There's a motive that the Bible tells us that we're to follow. And then we understand what the manifest is, that people are going to die without Jesus Christ if they're not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here's the message tonight. Help us or hurt us. Come help us, or if you don't come and send somebody, you're going to hurt the cause of Christ. Now, I don't know about you tonight. I want to be a helper, right? Amen. The one thing I love about the Apostle Paul was not a bystander. Right. Yeah, he wasn't a bystander. You know what he was? Paul realized that he wasn't going to be a bystander, that he was a byproduct of salvation, and he was not going to let God's will bypass him. So he said, "I'm not going to be a bystander. I'm going to be a guy that's going to follow what the Spirit of God tells me to do. And in that vision, he saw a man saying, come over here to Macedonia. I want to go to Asia. Would that be okay? No, not right now. How about Bithynia? No, not right now. Macedonia? You know, that would be like God saying, Brother McGuffey, Nigeria. Wait a minute. Now, I want to go over here. No, Nigeria. No, New Guinea. No, India. Listen, we could go on and on tonight. I'm just saying to you, we're either going to be a help or we're going to be a hindrance to the cause of Christ. And by the way, guess who gets to decide that tonight? You do. You get to decide whether you're going to be a help or a hindrance to the gospel. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, bless now the few moments that we have. We're so grateful and thankful for your blessings. We look forward to your goodness and kindness tonight now. Bless your people, and may you lay upon their hearts your desire in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Let me ask you a question. I want you to look right up here. I'm going to mention a name. I want to see if anybody in here recognizes this name. Does the name Lenny Skutnik mean anything to anybody in here? Does the name Lenny Skutnik mean anything to anybody? Okay, I didn't think so. Let me tell you who Lenny Skutnik is. But first of all, I got to tell you the story that leads up to who Lenny Skutnik is. On January the 13th, 1982, Air Florida Flight 90 was about to take off from Washington, D.C. National Airport. The weather conditions were horrendous. It was a major snowstorm. The temperature was well below freezing in the 20s. It was bound for Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with 74 passengers on board. They had just recently de-iced the plane, but because of the storm, Air Florida Flight 90 ended up sitting in line waiting to take off on the tarmac for over 1 hour. Well, during that 1 hour, snow began to accumulate on the wings, and the co-pilot looked out there and he said, I think there may be ice on the wings. And so they began to try to work the wings. And so finally the captain got this ingenious idea that what he would do is he would pull up close enough and position his plane behind the plane in front of him so that the heat coming off of the jet engines in front of him would melt the ice. That's a pretty good idea, right? So they were pretty comfortable that they were ready. There was no problems. Flight 90 was given the clearance to take off from Washington, D.C. National Airport in freezing cold weather, a snowstorm, and they were given clearance to take off. Flight 90 began to make its way down the runway in spite of the conditions, in spite of the apprehensive spirit of those that were flying the plane, and Flight 90 got airborne. After it got airborne, about 2 miles away from as they began to attempt to ascend, the nose of Flight 90 poked straight up just like this. And the captain began to holler and tell the co-pilot, we got to get the nose down. So he got the nose down, but the plane began to lose altitude because of the ice that had accumulated on the wings. Now, for those of you that are my age, you may remember this. I was in my 20s when this happened. Air Florida Flight 90 made it 2 miles before it descended and hit the 14th Street Bridge in Washington, D.C. that crossed the Potomac River. It hit the river, smashing several cars, flipping and crashing into the Potomac River. How many of you remember this? If you're my age, okay? We might have one or two that remember this. Well, there was a man that was on his way home from work that day by the name of Lenny Skutnik. And he came upon the traffic and realized something horrific had happened. And he had gotten out of his car and ran down to the shore, to the edge of the Potomac River that was basically iced over, freezing. The temperature, they said that day, was 24 degrees. The water temperature was below freezing. Well, as Lenny Skutnik made it to the shore and all of the people that were there on the bridge ran down to the shore, all on Flight Air 90 perished except for 5 people. There were 5 people that had surfaced holding on to the tail portion of that flight in freezing water. Well, help had been radioed and a helicopter was on its way, and it took it several minutes to get there as all of these people watched as all these people began to scream for help. And as they began to scream for help, all heard the helicopter coming. All thought, oh, goody, they're going to be rescued. And as the helicopter and the workers begin to fly over the wreckage and drop down life preservers, people begin to grab them and they begin to, and if you go watch the video, they begin to drag them to shore and drop them off, and then it would go back and drop another one and another one. The last person left out there was a young lady who was on board with her husband and just an infant baby, and both of them perished in the crash. She had no strength. They dropped the life preserver. She tried to grab it. They tried to lift her and she'd let go. And basically she was down there drowning. On the shore stood a man named Lenny Skutnik. And Lenny Skutnik looked out there and he said, I saw that woman's face. And I thought, somebody is going to have to help her. Somebody is going to have to get out there and help her. She had to help herself. Lenny Skutnik waited just a few moments and he saw the woman begin to sink. And I saw the condition of her face and I thought, listen, she's not going to make it. Lenny Skutnik ripped his jacket off, took his shoes off, and dove into the Potomac River. No thought of how it was going to affect him, swam out there, grabbed the life preserver, grabbed the lady, and they drugged them to shore, and Lenny Skutnik saved this lady's life. Not too many days after that, Ronald Reagan gave his State of the Union speech. And he had Lenny Skutnik in the gallery sitting next to his wife. He stood, and the entire house gave Lenny Skutnik a standing ovation because of his heroic act of saving. Later, in an interview, they asked Lenny Skutnik, they said, Mr. Skutnik, why own life? Why did you dive in to freezing cold water to save one person? Don't you know, Mr. Skutnik, you could have died? Here was Lenny Skutnik's answer, and this is what I want to make an. He said, "To do, huh? Yeah, it was just the right thing to do. Missions, it's just the right thing to do. Help is a Christian. It's just the right thing to do. Because listen, you know what? Faces. I saw faces of Nigerians. I saw faces of people from any. I saw faces, and you know what I saw in those faces? I saw people that were on the brink of perishing unless somebody got the gospel to them. I saw screaming, hey, come over here and help us. To you tonight, there's an appeal to some of you this evening. The faces. You see, I want you to, basically what you're doing is you're standing on the shore of eternity for some, dying without the gospel, and you know what? And save them. Now my question is, you going to be a bystander? Lenny Skutnik decided he wasn't going to be one. That he was going to go in with no thought of his own life and no thought of how things were going to turn out. He just said, you know what? It's just the right thing to do. Look at our text for tonight. I want to just hit just a story. Oh, by the way, they did make a movie out of that about Air Florida Flight 90. They went to Lenny Skutnik and said, we would like to purchase the rights to your story. You know what Lenny Skutnik said? He said, it's not for sale. He said, I didn't do it to get on a movie. He said, I did it because it was just the right thing to do. You know what I liked, Brother Wells? I knew when I read that story about Lenny Skutnik, I knew I liked that old boy because he was born in Mississippi. Yeah. Look, it took an old Mississippi boy in Washington, D.C. to dive in and help somebody. Amen. Hey, I'm just saying to you tonight, listen, giving to missions, it's just the right thing to do, Christian. It's just the right thing to do. Well, in our text verses tonight, the Apostle Paul had been forbidden to go to Asia and forbidden to go to Bithynia. What wasn't wrong to go there? It just wasn't God's will for him at that time. Why? Because God had a plan in Macedonia. And by the way, when you go check out all the things that happened in Macedonia and you go read Acts chapter 16 and you read about Lydia being saved and you read about the Philippian jailer being saved, oh, by the way, and his house, and you look at all the churches that had been started, hey, you know what? I think Paul made the right decision, right? Amen. Now listen, if you're going to make the right decision, there's some things that you're going to have to do tonight, and there's three of them. Let me give them to you real quick. Number one, you're going to have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. If you're going to do the right thing about your financial gift, or if you're going to do the right thing about what God's will is for your life personally, you're going to have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. I was listening to this brother's testimony here tonight, or last night, and he said that he left a business and just God called him and they just sold everything and went. Now, let me say something, brother. That don't make no sense. And to the average person, it makes absolutely, preacher, no sense whatsoever to leave the security of the United States of America and go to Papua New Guinea and walk through the jungles. Are you nuts? That's the way most of the world thinks. Because you know what most of the world's trying to do? They try to rationalize everything. They try to figure everything out. And they say, wait a minute, now if I can't touch it, see it, smell it, stuff, then I'm not going to do it. And that's absolutely the opposite of the way a Christian is supposed to live. We're supposed to live by faith. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hey, this brother right here, he had no idea. He just sold everything, went to Papua New Guinea. He didn't know what he was getting himself into other than God had called him there. Sold it all. Humanly speaking, that makes no sense. But you know what he was? He was sensitive to the Holy Spirit's call. I'm sure, brother, there were probably people that tried to get you to stay in business. There were probably people that said, hey, listen, don't do this. You're making a mistake. You're throwing your life away. Am I getting close? I'm getting close to what people have told you, missionary. You're wasting your life, brother, going to India. There's too many things to do here. Listen, I've been told, some of our missionaries out of our church have been told, you can do more here than you can there. Wait a minute now. When's the last time this church or my church has had 2,313 people saved? Right. Hey, just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? Because He'll always exercise faith in you. Always exercise faith in you. And by the way, He will always tell you the right thing to do. You know what Lenny Skutnik, after he saved that woman's life, you know what he said he had? He said, I got a clear conscience. Now, wait a minute. Now, did you notice there were other people that had professional skills that were trained in saving people, but he couldn't wait on them. He said, I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't stand there and watch her face. She was dying. Why did you do it, Mr. Skutnik? It's just the right thing to do. It was just the right thing to do. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. Did you notice the Apostle Paul? The Holy Spirit said, no Asia, no Bithynia, Macedonia. And here's the second thing. Listen, if we're going to do God's will, and we are going to do the right thing when it comes to our missions, we got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. In just a moment, your pastor is going to come and ask you, contact the Holy Ghost of God tonight and let Him tell you what to do. Here's the second thing. Act immediately upon God's direction. Now listen, act immediately. When God tells you, listen, when my wife and I get our faith promise card and God tells us what to do, my wife immediately, preacher, made the check out. Yes. Amen. We do it immediately. You know why? Because in a service and the Holy Spirit of God moves you and He tells you what to give, and He tells you that you're going to have to give this by faith and depend on the resources of God in order for you to give this. And boy, we just mark it down and we turn it in. Now listen, I'm a pastor. And this happens as well to me as it does to the people in the pew. I make the commitment and I walk out there and think, what did I do? Lord, where's this going to come from? And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, wake up. You're the pastor. Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, just act immediately upon God's direction. Did you notice it said, and after he had seen the vision, Luke said immediately. Yes. We just went immediately. Well, wait a minute. Now, I need to go home and tell my wife and give my wife some sugar. No, we went immediately. He booked his boat ticket. Said, we're going. Wait a minute. We ain't raised no support. No. The vision said we got to go immediately. Why? They need help. Hey, listen. You say, how did the Apostle Paul do all the things? He didn't even raise support. He did it by faith. He just went and God supplied it. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you tonight, just do the right thing. And do it immediately. Listen, to doubt is to delay. And to delay can be disastrous. Do you realize if Lenny Skutnik had delayed one more minute, that woman was already having problems with hypothermia anyway. She was drowning. If he had waited one more minute, she'd have been lost into eternity. Mr. Skutnik, why did you do it? I just saw her face and I knew she was on her last leg. Why did you jump in at the risk of your own life? It's just the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. And then let me give you the third one, and I'm going to get out of the way. And that is this. Notice this in verse number 7. Paul says, Luke's writing here says, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit suffered them not. Paul was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You must be also tonight. Paul acted immediately. Listen, when God tells you what to give, don't try to talk yourself out of it. Okay, don't try to talk yourself out of it. Just do what God tells you to do. Act immediately. And then here's the third thing. If you're going to do it, and you're going to do it consistently. Now listen to me. I love you. But it's one thing to commit something. It's another thing to actually fulfill it. You follow what I'm saying? Most churches in America, I'm told by those who travel America and preach a lot of missions conferences, Dr. Smith does, and I got this information from him. He said most churches are absolutely ecstatic if they get 80% of their commitment come in. 80%. And they're ecstatic. But wait a minute now. If every true born-again believer makes a commitment, 100% of it ought to come in, right? Shouldn't be 80%. That means somebody went back on their commitment. Somebody didn't fulfill their vow. Somebody didn't act immediately. And you know why? Here's the third thing and last. Die to your will and embrace God's will. Die to your will and embrace God's will. Folks, I found out that God's will, you cannot go wrong. Remember what we've learned? God's will, done God's way, has God's support. Every time. Undisputable. Every time, do God's will, God's way, and you will always have God's support. You know what God's will is? Is that men everywhere should do what? Repent and come to Jesus Christ. God's way is faith-based. We've already learned we can go by faith. Or we can give by faith. And by the way, if we go by faith, we're also to give by faith, right? I told our missionaries that out of our church. Now, I'm assuming this happens here too, but we've got 18 missionary families on the field out of our church, and I tell every one of them, you don't give to missions, you don't get support from this church. Why in heaven's name would a missionary go to the field and not support missions? I don't know about you, that's nuts to me. That doesn't make any sense to me. So with our 18 missionary families, when I sit them down each year, listen, and they operate through our church. We're kind of their mission board. And so what we do is we pull their tithe and their missions. They tell us what they're going to give to missions. We pull it out of their support because all their support comes to our missions office, and we pull it out. Yeah. We'll give you a plug nickel for a missionary that didn't support missions. Amen, preacher. Listen, God's support has His favor and blessings. And you know what it does? You do what God tells you to do, and He says He will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing like you've never experienced before. Let me finish this up and say this. Faith cannot be subject to reason nor rule. Faith cannot be subject to reason or rule. Folks, tonight, if I told you what my wife and I have committed to missions, you'd say, "Preacher, there's no way." Well, as you can tell, I ain't missed no meals. Yeah. God just gave us an opportunity to build a home 2 years ago. Listen, we were trying to buy another home. I sold and got out. Listen, I live two blocks from AT&T Stadium. I was out of my mind. 80-something events a year take place. I had to get out of there. So I sold it. I looked at 60 different homes. 60. I didn't like any of them. My wife said, "Honey, I don't know what do you want to do? What do you want to do? You don't like any of them. You just build your own, I guess." And I thought, you know what? I will. And I did. Hey, I'm just saying to you folks, I wouldn't have any of this today. I wouldn't even have a go-kart to ride around on if I stole God's tithe and didn't give the offering to world missions and evangelism. I'd have had to come over here tonight on a scooter. And I'm not talking about an electric, I'm talking about one of these. That's how I had to get over here. Because you know what? Lenny Skutnik, why did you do this? It's just the right thing to do. And can I say to you, church, just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Whatever He tells you not, just do it. Do it immediately. Die to self. Die to your will and embrace God's will. Why in the world would a man dive into freezing cold waters with no thought of his own life? These missionaries go to these foreign fields. Did y'all ever consider that you could probably get sick over there? Huh? Yeah. But they went over there. Why? Look up here. It's just the right thing to do. I want you to bow your heads tonight. Thank